This is one of those podcast episodes where I welcome some very cool dudes into my home and you get to hear us jam out. We're going to talk all about light, near infrared light, far infrared light, red light. If light exists, then we talk about it on today's show.
I get laughed at maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard on those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now. on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
For some reason, I have gotten a reputation of late as a guy who shines laser lights on his balls. And it may have been a Men's Health magazine article in which I talked about this form of light therapy called photobiomodulation as a way for a dude to increase his sexual performance or his sperm count or his testosterone. Maybe it's because I've described on many podcasts in the past about how I pull down my pants for about 20 to 30 minutes a day while I'm at my desk and I bathe my nether regions in red and near infrared light using this nifty little light panel device called a Juve. And it turns out, though, that the benefits of photobiomodulation, all joking aside, go pretty far beyond just your crotch. There's one recent study, actually, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes that I'll give to you here in a little bit during this episode. There's a recent study that hinted at the fact that photobiomodulation, which is also called PBM, should be banned because it might be an illegal performance-enhancing drug. And that's due to a lot of the biological mechanisms that I'll talk about in today's show. But what I decided was I wanted to get a couple of experts in the field of photobiomodulation on my show, guys who know the ins and outs of laser light. Their names are Justin Strahan and Scott Nelson. They're here in my home with me. We just finished piecing together this crazy modular photobiomodulation device they invented out in my living room and kind of going through that. And you're going to learn a lot about what that is too on today's show. So who are these dudes? Well, Justin actually invented and developed much of the technology behind the Juve Light, and he spent his career as an engineer managing design and development teams. Apparently has 6 children as well, something I've learned about Justin. So a far more patient man than I. And then Scott is the guy who set a lot of what goes on behind the scenes at Juve in motion. And prior to co-founding Juve, he spent his career in leadership positions with some pretty big medical device companies like Medtronic and Covidien and Boston Scientific and C.R. Bard. And he also has a podcast, a top-ranked medical device podcast called MedCider Radio. So these guys are pretty much obsessed with light. Welcome to the show. Welcome to my home, guys.
Thanks, Ben. Awesome to finally be here.
Excellent. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, you'll get to know the voices of each of these cats here as you listen to this show. But I would say, Justin, your voice is possibly a little bit more smooth and lulling.
Now you're giving me it's quite a standard to hold up now.
Yeah, you've got the voice for radio.
Well, I was going to say mine was just that much more masculine. And,
well, your microphone stand broke before we started recording, so I'm going to have to boost your levels a little bit behind the scenes. So which one of you cats designed this thing, this Juve light?
Yeah, so going back to how we kind of discovered it, my wife actually first introduced me to photobiomodulation, or as we referred to it at the time, red light therapy. And after digging into the science of it, I worked on developing the original Juve, which I see sitting behind us here in your office.
How did your wife introduce you to it? What do you mean?
She first tried out the therapy in a salon where they had tanning beds that were converted for the purpose of red light therapy. So they were using strictly red wavelengths, and she had some pretty awesome health benefits from it. And then because of that, she wanted to try to find something she could use at home, not only just for herself, but also for myself and our 6 children you referenced earlier. And that's what really led us down the path of creating our own device that would allow that to be a possibility.
Would you just tinker it together in your garage or?
No, it was kind of funny. The first Juve prototype, tinkering probably would be a pretty accurate description. It was basically a collection of infrared heat lamps clamped to a 2x4 hung on either side of our shower. So that was the very first Juve prototype.
Wow. And so that was I actually have one of these. It's about, 4 feet tall, about 1 foot wide. That's the Juve original that you developed.
That's correct.
The original one that I used to shine on my balls. Now yep. I've got your Elite Modular. I can just shine everything, my whole body, all at once. We'll talk about that because that thing's pretty sick. But ultimately, when did you hook up with Scott? How'd that happen?
Well, my wife, Melissa, her younger sister is Liz, who happens to be Scott's wife. So we are brother-in-laws. We've known each other for 20-some years now.
Wow. So you got a lot of nephews and nieces, Scott.
We do. Justin's got six. He's beaten me on that front for sure. I've got four kids of my own, but the family extension goes far and wide for sure.
And you were in medical device sales before you started doing this laser light thing.
I was. I spent my entire career in the traditional medical device game, primarily in the cardiovascular space. So, you know, products like peripheral stents and balloons and atherectomy catheters, kind of the stuff that goes on in a interventional, you know, cardiology lab or something like that. But my last actually position before Juve was actually overseeing marketing for the Endovenous franchise at Medtronic. And so that was the last guy. That's actually what brought us to Minneapolis in the first place. But I come from a very formal med tech, medical device background. And so when Justin's wife and then my wife, who experienced the same type of benefits, came to us with this concept of red light therapy, I thought, well, that's way too woo-woo for me. You know, there's no way, you know, different colors of light can have these types of benefits on your body. But as Justin mentioned before, we started digging into the science, and I'm kind of a guy that goes straight to PubMed, and it was pretty mind-blowing how much research has been published specifically using red and near-infrared wavelengths. It blows you away.
Yeah.
Just do a little bit of research.
So that's what I want to get into, is this whole idea of photobiomodulation. And I think a lot of people get confused when they hear about all these different light wavelengths. And I get asked this all the time. What is red? How does that compare to far red or far infrared? You know, what's near infrared? So can you guys walk me through the specific wavelengths of light used in something like photobiomodulation? And I don't care if you call that PBM, because I already did, and apparently that's the word all the kids use anyways these days.
Yeah, no, I'll feel that one. So basically, there's all types of health benefits that you can get from a wide range of wavelengths. Obviously, sunlight provides everything from the UV visible light into the near-infrared, mid, and far-infrared wavelength ranges, and all of those have some related health benefits. But for the purposes of PBM, the specific ranges that have the most scientific research behind them are red wavelengths between 600 and 670 nanometers, and then near infrared light in the 800 to 880 nanometer wavelength ranges.
Okay, so that first term that you use, red light, it's not far infrared light.
Correct. So when I say red, I mean visible red that you're able to see with the naked eye.
Okay. So that red is the stuff you can see. Like when I flip on a Juve and all the, it's like one of the circles is red, then the next one next to that is clear, then the next one is red. The ones that are red, that's actually red light. And you said the 600 to 850 nanometer range. And then the near infrared is the one you can't see.
Correct. So the red is between 600 and 670, and the near infrared is between 800 and 880. In terms of the scientific research, the Juve devices that we've got here, we use red at 660 and near infrared at 850 nanometers.
Where does far infrared come in?
Far infrared has some great benefits, primarily related to heating tissue. So your infrared sauna, for example, is primarily be using wavelengths longer than 3,000 nanometers, which would be considered far infrared light.
Can you see far infrared light?
No, you can't. Basically, the human eye can see up to around 700 nanometers. Once you get much beyond that, you're not going to be able to see it with the naked eye.
So if I have an infrared sauna, specifically one of these far infrared saunas, because I have like that big clear light one in my gym over here, I'm not getting the same type of red and near infrared as I'm getting from the Juve. That's giving me the far infrared spectrum, and then I get the red and near infrared when I flip on something like this.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me about some of the actual research behind red and some of the research behind near infrared, because I want to wrap my head around why you'd combine these two into one laser panel.
Yeah,
really. And if you want me to stop saying laser lights, I can. I just I'm all space agey.
I'll touch on that briefly. So the original PBM devices were lasers. They were referred to as low-level laser therapy, or LLLT. So the origin of the field is based in lasers.
I used to get attacked at health conferences by dudes with all these laser light wands.
Yeah.
I never noticed jack shit from any of them.
Really? That's interesting. I think the main issue with issues with lasers is just the treatment area. Obviously, you're talking a very small area. So even though there's some robust evidence for the deeper tissue benefits with lasers, the treatment area is such that it's very limited in terms of the overall benefits and applications.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think in many cases, people would just like shine it on, you know, like a bum knee as I'm walking around a health conference. And I know a lot of times you need repeated doses and probably a little bit more of a controlled environment, but it's that's where all this originally developed, was these low level
laser therapy.
Okay. Yep. And those are like the wands, or kind of like these laser guns that you'll see a lot of people use at chiropractic clinics or alternative healing clinics, places like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's been used in the kind of physical therapy world for quite some time. And really what came about was some studies in the 90s that demonstrated the fact that LEDs could be just as effective, only now you could treat a much larger surface area without having the risks of the potentially overheating tissue that you have with lasers.
What's the difference between an LED and a laser?
The main difference is just the light source itself. So with a laser, you have a coherent beam, and what that means is you have a specific wavelength. So literally all the photons are in alignment with each other. So you have kind of basically all the waves lined up, and that enables the beam of light to stay very, very tight. And, you know, that's why you have all these different applications for, you know, whether it's cutting tissue or even in the manufacturing, where you can cut materials with lasers because you can tighten up that beam to a very small point. With LEDs, you have a fairly tight range of wavelengths, but you don't have that coherent beam. So the light is dispersing, and you basically control that with the lenses on a device like really like basically what we have on the Juve light. So you can control the spread of those photons to target a specific area.
So in this case, if you wanted it to target the entire body, you just stand in front of a whole panel of the LED, but then that's combined with near infrared.
Exactly. And to get back to your earlier question on why we use both wavelengths, from a biological standpoint, both wavelengths have very similar impacts at the cellular and mitochondrial level. The main difference being that the near infrared wavelengths are much more effective at penetrating through to deeper tissue. And that really boils down to the water absorption that allows them to penetrate deeper.
Just to add on to Justin's comment there, photomedicine, by and large, is still a very niche field within, you know, healthcare in general. But if you were to go to a photomedicine conference, most of the older academics would say the field was built on laser-based therapy. But if you talk to a younger researcher, even someone like Dr. Hamlin, who's often referenced in this.
Dr. Michael Hamlin?
That's right, Dr. Michael Hamlin. He's a PhD at Harvard, runs his own lab. He's published over 300 manuscripts. But he would say that with the advent of medical grade LED technology in general, you can deliver the same type of intensity with very, you know, quasi coherent light, just over a much broader treatment area.
As opposed to a laser.
Exactly.
Okay. So basically what you're doing with LED is you're covering more area, but you're still getting the same effects as a laser. It doesn't have to be like this targeted wand that you hold over the tissue. It's more like the shotgun effect.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. So how is this any different than sunlight, than me stepping out into the sun? Because the sun's got UVA, UVB, all of the wavelengths of the light spectrum, from blue to near-infrared to far-infrared and beyond. So how is this different than sunlight?
Sure. The main difference is, instead of having the full spectrum, and just to back up, we're big fans of getting as much natural light as possible. My wife and I would typically go out in the morning, try to catch the sunrise.
You guys aren't a bunch of like white vampires hunched over in your garage over your laser lights.
Definitely not. So, yeah, we got the Southern California tan working on that and everything. So no, we're definitely big believers in getting natural light as much as possible. But the fact is for most of us, we don't get outside near as much as we should. So I think the latest stats that I've heard is Americans spend roughly 93% of their lifetime indoors, separated from natural light.
Yeah.
So
especially those of us who have, you know, like I'm a blogger and a podcaster. People ask me, why don't you just spend all day out in the sun like you preach, Ben? I'm like, I can't because I have to pay the bills.
Exactly. And most of us fall into that category in one way or another. So whether you're in corporate America or even most of our children, you know, spend most of their time indoors, you know, stuck in a classroom. So for a variety of reasons that have, you know, our lives have changed so much over the past 100 to 200 years, you know, we're not getting the natural light that we should be. So photobiomodulation or PBM just gives us a way to harness some specific wavelengths that are really important at helping to restore healthy cellular function. And specifically with some of the stresses that our cells are constantly undergoing, whether it's Bluetooth, EMFs from other types of technology, Wi-Fi, cell phones, and even the extreme amount of blue light that most of us are under for a good section of the day. So PBM just is a great way to help restore that healthy function at a cellular and mitochondrial level after we're kind of bombarded by all those other stressors throughout the day.
Yeah, and it's not just to add to that, it's not too dissimilar to supplementing any way else you'd supplement your diet, right? If you're taking a multivitamin, if you're adding protein powder to a smoothie, it's not terribly different than that. Most of us just simply cannot spend the amount of time that we need outdoors.
It'd be like getting a bunch of folic acid from spinach and kale in my morning smoothie, but then wanting more. And so I supplement my diet with the multivitamin. It's got like methyl tetrahydrofolate in it, something like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That was my excuse to use a big word to make myself sound smart. So you've got these lights that are essentially giving you some of the beneficial wavelengths of sunlight, but you're not getting the UVA and the UVB, which isn't bad per se, but you know, in excess amounts it can be. You're not getting much of the blue light and the artificial light. Not that you're getting artificial light from sun, but you are getting blue light. And so these things can be used at night, for example, without disrupting circadian rhythm. But what I want to do is you know, we very briefly went over just a few of the little benefits of this, but I want to dig into some of the research proven benefits of what photobiomodulation has been shown to do. I just got to start saying PBM, fellas. I obviously have, like I mentioned, caught some attention for talking about how it improves the activation of the Leydig cells and the testes for sperm cells and testosterone and sexual performance and blood flow. And I've possibly kind of kicked that horse to death in articles that I've written. I think a lot of people are aware that I pull down my pants in front of the Juve line. And there's a lot of guys doing it now. My friend Ollie over in Finland is the first guy who told me about this. He would lay on his couch at night and just like hug his Juve. I think he had the original. He would just like hug it, just like lay there on the couch with the thing like nestled up in his crotch. And he'd do that for like 20 minutes a night. And he showed me his before and after testosterone. I was amazed. And you guys have sent me other research studies on pre and post testosterone levels of guys who do this, but it seems to go beyond sexual optimization and testosterone and blood flow and silly jokes about lead in your balls. And there's a lot of other interesting and compelling research on this stuff. So walk me through some of the things that you guys know photobiomodulation to do and some of kind of the ways, you know, the mechanisms of action behind how that would work.
Sure, I'll take a stab at that one. So as you mentioned, the benefits are pretty wide ranging. It's literally everything from skin health to muscle recovery, to enhancing peak athletic performance, to reducing joint pain and inflammation, to there's evidence that suggests that it helps with thyroid function. So if I were to like list all of those benefits on a late night, you know, QVC commercial, most people would be like, that's too good to be true, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you sound like a used car salesman.
Exactly. But the reality is all of this is supported by a robust amount of published peer-reviewed clinical literature. In fact, there's over 3,000 manuscripts that I'll repeat that again, 3,000 manuscripts. It's unheard of in like most healthcare arenas, but there's 3,000 manuscripts that have been published to showcase the benefits of these wavelengths of light. And maybe more compelling, there's over 200 double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trials showcasing the benefits. So there's a robust amount of science. So every single benefit that we mention here during this conversation, it's supported by research. You can simply do a PubMed search for LLT, PBM, photobiomodulation. There'll be a laundry list of studies that support this. But those are some of the benefits at a high level. But the reason for the wide ranging, varying sort of health benefits from these wavelengths of light, it kind of goes back to the fundamental core mechanism of action. You know, what are these specific wavelengths of light doing at a cellular level? And at a you know, from a macro perspective, these wavelengths actually excite an enzyme during the fourth phase of cellular respiration called cytochrome C oxidase. You mentioned it earlier in the intro. But by doing that, that will actually tend to free up cytochrome C oxidase from nitric oxide. So that's why you get the nitric oxide vasodilation, the enhanced blood flow. Mm-hmm. Ben, you could probably speak to that more than I did. I think your master's was specifically on nitric oxide, but you more than anyone probably can speak to the benefits
in
of that.
In biochem, I spent a lot of time writing a paper on nitric oxide, like an entire freaking semester.
You want to name one of your boys nitric?
Yeah, exactly. No, for me, honestly, though, I was a gym rat. You know, I was bodybuilding and using NO Explode and just wanted to dig into the mechanism of action. I just thought it was a freaking cool molecule. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it tattooed on me or anything like that. But it, you know, and it's interesting, you know, and in some cases, excess nitric oxide, as you guys know, can result in excess free radical production. And mm-hmm. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this whole purported Goldilocks effect of photobiomodulation and the idea that you might not want to do too much of it, which was originally, there's this guy that makes this headset device. Have you heard of the Vi-Lite before? Mm-hmm. It's like, I have one over there in the corner or right under there. I wear that every other day or so. Like, it's fantastic for jet lag and for cognitive performance. From what I understand, it's very similar to like putting one of your guys' Juve lights on the skull. And he told me, he was like, use it about every 48 hours, like, you know, for 30 minutes or so. You don't want to create excess reactive oxygen species. And so I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to continue down this road of the mechanism of action. So this mm-hmm. thing's activating cytochrome C oxidase, releasing nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
And by doing that, you free up cytochrome C oxidase to be used in the way it was supposed to be during the fourth phase of cellular respiration. And that's really to produce the gradient in the mitochondrial matrix to produce ADP, so which is a precursor to ATP, which is cellular, you know, mm-hmm. cellular energy, or the energy currency of life, if you know, taking everyone back to the high school biology class. But that's okay. That's sort of the core fundamental mechanism of action. You do get sort of secondary things that go on. So enhanced gene transcription, better cell signaling, a shift in cellular redox. You get sort of these secondary benefits, a better immune response by secreting more cytokines. There's all these secondary responses, but it kind of all goes back to that primary mechanism of action, which is helping excite cytochrome C oxidase to free up the bond between nitric oxide and CCO, and then restoring sort of natural cellular function.
Okay, got it. You talk about skin health. That was like one of the first things that you brought up. How would that affect the skin specifically?
Yeah, and going back to the difference between red and near-infrared light, red light has been shown to it's often studied for skin health. So if you look at like a derm paper, for example, most of the studies will use red light because it most of that energy is absorbed in the dermis and epidermis of your skin, whereas near-infrared light has unique ability to penetrate into tissue a little bit further. And so near-infrared light is often used for studies related to joint pain, osteoarthritis, muscle recovery.
Yeah, even talk about it for like detoxification because it penetrates so deeply.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of the core, the same mechanism of action applies to both wavelengths. It's just the major difference is the depth of penetration.
So when my little boys, because you brought over one of these Juve minis, I'm turning them into little biohackers. Right? They have a little biomat mini upstairs for their warming and their negative ion exposure. And they've got a Juve mini. They're 10 years old when they start to break out in acne when they're 13 or 14. And hopefully their insulin levels are pretty stabilized. They're not doing a lot of vegetable oils, but you know, shit happens when you become a teenager, when those balls drop, weird things happen to your face. How would this work on that? Like, could they use something like this for acne?
Yeah. There's a whole host of skin benefits with red light. You'll find some studies actually that use blue light for acne related issues, but that's primarily bacterial induced acne. But any other form of acne, red light is actually great for restoring healthy skin, healthy collagen production. Everything from rosacea to psoriasis to reducing acne. Red light is great for that.
What about the eyes? Two questions really for me, because I've got these lights and I've always kind of wondered, but I haven't done much of it because I wanted to ask you guys about it. Now I've got you as a captive audience here in my home. What happens if I look at this? Like, will it damage my eyes if I turn around and stare at this Juve? And then B, like, does it help my eyes at all?
Yeah. Interestingly, it has actually been shown to be beneficial for eye health. So there's actually a decent number of studies for a wide range of various degenerative eye disorders where PBM has been shown to be quite helpful. In fact, referencing Dr. Michael Hamblin, he's a big fan of using near infrared because it's a little bit more comfortable on the eye. Whereas some people, if they have a little bit of a sensitivity to the red, that's something that they can, you know, overcome. But for most people, we would basically recommend they would start a treatment with their eyes closed. And then if it's comfortable to them, they can open their eyes and take those wavelengths, you know, right directly. Oh,
so,
to
so,
eye.
So this new Elite model that you have, you guys just set up out in my living room, that has the ability to shut off the red. So if that was bothering my eyes and I just wanted to treat my eyes and enhance the health of the eyes, I could switch it to near infrared and just use it that way.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool.
The one thing to add to that is I would say not all devices are created equal. So like when you're submitting to FDA, there is a series of IEC tests that you need to submit along with the 510K. And one of those is photobiological safety testing. And so, you know, you could in theory be using a PBM device that hasn't been tested properly. That may not be the best case. Well, it's just kind of an unknown. You know, you don't know for sure.
So don't Amazon Prime it necessarily.
Exactly. Just be careful.
What about this one? Is this thing like FDA approved or how's that work?
Yeah. The new device and our old devices were class one registered with FDA, which is, you know, relatively easy to get. You still need all the testing in place, but our newer devices are actually class two cleared, which is a big milestone for us as a company. Even though they're still delivering the same wavelengths with fairly similar power, it's just a big milestone for us because we want to get more involved in clinical studies. And in order to get IRB approval at certain clinical sites, you need class two approval with most devices.
Is that hard to do? Class two?
I wouldn't say it's hard. The barrier is definitely harder or more challenging than class one. It's just that the paperwork, the testing, everything goes up a notch with class two. And just to put it in perspective, class three devices are like heart valves. You know, something that you'd implant in a body typically, where class two is everything from something like the Juve that's not used inside the body to, you know, an orthopedic implant maybe could be a class two device. So it's kind of a wide variety of devices, but the barrier's definitely leveled up for sure.
Have you guys seen the pictures of the guys who actually are implanting lights under the skin? Like LED lights and light tattoos, these grinders. they treat the human body as wetware and they install these things called hardware, you know, like chips and bio-tracking devices, but they do lights now. If you were to like Google light tattoos, you would see these guys. And I think they're just like basic LED lights that they're implanting as almost like an advanced form of a tattoo. I'm pretty sure they don't have class three FDA clearance.
Probably not.
Yeah. So the other thing interesting about collagen, I want to ask you, you know, you mentioned thyroid health and I'm super interested in the idea of weight loss as well. But my friend, Andy Nilo, who develops these clay masks, he has a company called Alitura. It's like clay and colostrum, all these things you put on your face. He talked about how you could do that and then do infrared at the same time. So I actually have been like putting on a clay mask every Wednesday. I do this and I go shine the Juve light on my face with that clay mask on for like 20 minutes, which sounds incredibly laborious. I know those of you listening in, you put on an audiobook or a podcast and you just kind of jam on your face. You're 20 minutes of self-love for your face each week. What's going on with collagen production when you're using something like red or near infrared?
Yeah, so it's been proven to actually, these wavelengths have been proven to actually produce, help your body produce more collagen. That's typically seen in, you know, with skin health. I mean, that's where you probably notice it the most, but there is evidence that suggests that increase in collagen is what helps restore joint health too. Just to name something, but you're right. I mean, we're big fans of what Andy's doing with Alitura. And I know there's actually some things that actually have been, even though the evidence isn't strong, you know, copper and green light, which I know he uses in some of his mm-hmm. his products have actually shown to enhance the benefits of light therapy as well. So not only are you getting sort of the natural collagen boost with these standalone wavelengths, but using, you know, something like that mask that has some of those ingredients, you'll get
It's crazy what can be combined with light. I mean, when we step back and we were talking about this in the living room a little bit about how, you know, you step back and you look at all this science on pulsed electromagnetic field therapy and photobiomodulation, all these things biohackers are doing now, it really comes down to the fact that we're kind of like achieving a concentrated equivalent of mineral-rich water and sunlight and grounding and earthing and all these things that our ancestors would have done, but we're kind of figuring out a way to concentrate those in these deliverable doses, even when we're, say, inside in our office, which I think is incredibly cool.
Oh, yeah. It's super interesting when you think about sort of the, you know, how our biological systems have evolved so fast, right? Because most of the stuff we're doing now, I mean, we certainly weren't doing it even, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you know, in front of like all of, you know, Wi-Fi exposure, Bluetooth exposure, indoors most of the time. That was, you know, that wasn't the case, you know, 50 to 100 years ago. And so our biology just can't keep up with that sort of technology, or to expect it is probably not the best, the best way to go about living. But you're right. I mean, all this, you know, a lot of the stuff that most of us use kind of harken back to our Paleolithic ancestors, you know, and living under natural sunlight.
And not to rabbit hole too much, but is there any evidence on whether or not this could mitigate either the circadian rhythm issues or other issues generated by excess exposure to blue light or to artificial light?
There's definitely some interesting studies out there, specifically on doing treatments of PBM either in the morning or in the evening, to help overcome some of those challenges, even in related to UV light that we would get through the sun during the midday. So where the sun kind of gets a bad rap, because I think a lot of times when we do get sunlight, we basically live in a cave all week and then we'll go out in
it's associated
the
with skin
day.
Cancer.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
There's interesting data on workers who work all day in the sun. They don't get skin cancer. The people who go out and tan on the weekends on the beach, they get skin cancer.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some interesting studies on the skin actually being exposed to red and near infrared wavelengths that you should be getting in the morning and evening parts of the day that actually help both prepare your skin for the UV exposure that is certainly more harsh and has some different challenges for your body. But it's obviously necessary for vitamin D production. But then as you're getting those red and near infrared wavelengths in the evening, you're able to actually help restore and repair, some of the, I guess, stress that your tissues have been, undergo during the day.
Yeah. So red light at night, blue light in the morning. Actually, it's interesting because I've been using this in the morning as well, not only to get my little release of nitric oxide and blood flow and activation of mitochondria at the beginning of the day, but because even at the beginning of the day, when I open up my phone, I'm looking at blue light and artificial light. As soon as I go down to my computer and I start reading research studies and preparing for the day and writing articles and doing what I do on my computer, again, big blast of blue light and artificial light to a certain extent from my computer monitor. You know, I've done some things to mitigate that. Like I use the Iris Tech software on there, and I've got, you know, like this monitor over here is an ISO monitor, so I can switch that to paper mode and decrease some of the artificial light coming off the screen. But my logic is if I'm going to expose myself to blue light in the morning and I'm not able to get out into the sunlight, I want to create an environment in my office that's as close to sunlight as possible. So I flip on the Juve's, so now I'm getting blue light from the screens, but then I'm getting red and near infrared from the Juve. So I'm almost like simulating sunlight in my office. Even these lights overhead, you guys notice that they're pretty bright. You know, those are blue light producing lamps from Lighting Science. So they're kind of more biological LED. They still produce a lot of flicker, and we can get into that later maybe. But ultimately, that's kind of my approach, is I want to combine as many different light sources as possible in my home. So I'm kind of simulating sunlight in the morning and not just flipping these things on at night.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's evidence that even using red and near infrared light in the evening does help your body produce more melatonin. Yeah. So there's,
oh,
there's,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, my wife and I were crashed out in the sauna last night. We flip on the red light in the sauna. We're getting far infrared in there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You sleep like a baby when you get some form of red light. You know, same thing upstairs in our bedroom, right? It's red incandescent bulbs or candlelight at night, and you sleep so much better.
I get laughed at. Maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lilacue. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Leela does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum Energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know, but all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Leela Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Leela Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. usejoymode.com/greenfield. That'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a re-hit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com.
So one of the things that annoyed me, especially when I was a trainer at the gym, was you'd walk into the gym and you'd see these ladies like standing on the vibration platforms with their big, you know, 400 calorie Jamba Juices in their hand, losing weight by vibrating their bodies and standing there. And whenever I see weight loss claims that don't involve just like working hard and sweating and burning calories, I sometimes raise an eyebrow. And I've seen you guys talk a little bit about how you might get weight loss or fat loss with this Juve. Is there any actual research on that?
Yeah, there is actually some research on slimming effect that PBM can have.
Oh, a slimming effect.
Yeah. I think it's you can kind of be, as you mentioned, kind of be a slippery slope if you start talking about weight loss claims. But there actually have been some studies specifically around slimming, as I mentioned, and it basically has to do with the metabolic burn rate that your body's able to process fat. And there's some interesting studies using red light actually, mm-hmm. to help increase that metabolic rate.
And like when you dig into some of these research studies, there's actually slides showcasing adipose cells actually, mm-hmm. becoming more porous. So it's hard to say is it weight loss, is it more like contouring, but in essence these fat cells are shrinking
You're getting dispersal of lipids when you're almost like vibrating the adipocytes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of interesting, but to your point about is there any evidence? Actually, some of the more well structured PBM studies are kind of for weight loss. It's FDA, FDA has cleared it for the slimming effect. So there's pretty well-designed, well-structured studies that do in fact showcase significant results with those wavelengths of light.
That's interesting. And I think that whole idea of mobilizing lipids from fat cells is one of the reasons that you'll see, I know the whole like detox world is full of scams and quackery, but three guys I really respect in the whole like detoxification sector, Dr. Brian Walsh, Dr. Dan Pompa, and Dr. Chris Shade. They all talk about how you don't just want to like eat a bunch of chlorella or dump a bunch of charcoal into your body. You instead need to mobilize toxins. Then you need to enhance detoxification pathways. Then you need to somehow bind or excrete them. And so this whole idea of mobilizing toxins from fat tissue, which is a lot of times where they're stored, that's where things like rebounding and those infamous vibration training platforms and saunas and exercise and movement and even the use of something like light therapy would be a way to mobilize fat cells during something like a detoxification program.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that we've really tried to focus on is to get people to start thinking about their overall health in terms of the big picture, instead of just trying to think, I have this specific issue and I want to try to fix that problem. It's kind of a similar what we've had in the whole medical field where, you have this symptom and you're taking this drug to basically mask that problem. And I think to kind of get that change where people start to realize what are these things that we can do to get back to the way our bodies will function at their highest level, their optimally at a cellular function. Now we can actually address all of these issues instead of trying to work the other way around.
Yeah. Did you guys see the research on sleep deprivation and hormones and how like red and near infrared light can assist with your leptin and your ghrelin levels?
I don't think I've seen that one actually.
Yeah, yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, indirect associated with weight loss, but essentially stabilization of appetite by modifying ghrelin and leptin in response to light. I think that's one of the reasons that of course sunlight can be so helpful mitigating the effects of sleep deprivation, particularly the appetite enhancing effects of sleep deprivation. But this kind of seems to do a similar thing, kind of indirectly affecting weight loss if just like stuffing more food into your gaping maw is an issue. So we've got skin, we've got weight loss, obviously the sexual performance, we talked about that a little bit. Muscle recovery is another. Is that all just related to the collagen?
I would argue that it's probably more to do with the repair of tissue, of muscle tissue. So it actually expediting how fast your body can respond to that stress that you just induced. In fact, one of our, you're familiar probably with Dr. Charles Poliquin.
Yeah.
He's recently been,
biceps are a little bigger than his, but I know who he is.
I remember when we first met with him, it's like, he's
jacked.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Veins rippling through his biceps. But no, he's recently been testing our device and he's noticed even with, a lot of the competitive, athletes that he's training, they've noticed pretty profound benefits in terms of how much faster their bodies are recovering from their workout. I think it's more of a repairing function more so than collagen even.
Interesting. Now, what about the whole idea of heat shock proteins? Because I know that saunas and the absence of muscle loading and physical activity seem to allow for some retention of muscle mass. I've talked with Dr. Rhonda Patrick about that, and I've certainly used that on recovery days to keep muscle on. Is that all just the heat effect, or does light play a role in the development of heat shock proteins as well?
Yeah, I think they're really two distinct therapies. So the heat shock proteins are specifically related to those far infrared wavelengths where you are delivering heat to the tissues. And that really boils down to the way that those wavelengths are absorbed by the cells. So whereas with PBM, instead of basically creating a stress on the body related to the heat that's delivered, PBM, you're really providing more nutrients really in the form of light that are largely absent or basically don't contain heat that you would get from far infrared wavelengths.
Which of these mechanisms that we're talking about would have been the reason that that article came out? And I assume you guys saw it about the potential for this eventually being like banned by Olympic committees or by WADA as a form of illegal performance enhancing. I mean, that's the type of study you would expect to be put out by your guys' industry, right? To actually paint right. you in a favorable light. But I mean, this was in the Journal of Biophotonics is where it appeared. And they talked about how it could increase muscle mass after training, decrease inflammation, decrease oxidative stress, what they showed in muscle biopsies. What's your guys' thoughts on that study and whether or not it's legit?
I
guess it was more of a meta-analysis.
Yeah, it was more of a meta-analysis. But I think when you look at like how that was researched, I mean, they parsed down some like 300, I'd have to look it up to be specific, but they parsed down some 300 studies only to the most well-structured.
There were 500
studies. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say 500, but yeah. I thought it was a big number. And you know, the Brazilians have actually done probably the most research when it comes to
the Brazilians.
The Brazilian, yeah, photomedicine mm-hmm. researchers, they've done a ton with respect to muscle recovery and peak athletic performance. But it's largely those near infrared wavelengths in that kind of that 800 to 880 nanometer range that have been shown to over and over again across all of these studies to have a pretty profound impact.
So if I'm using a sauna and it's just far infrared, I'm actually not getting all the benefits they found in these studies if I don't have near.
Yeah, it's just a different therapy altogether. It'd be, you know, do you need cardiovascular exercise versus like, you know, heavy weightlifting, something mm-hmm. like that. Just different therapies altogether. Because those wavelengths are just, we metabolize those differently. And they have a different impact at a cellular level. And so saunas are great for sure. I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's a profound amount of benefits from saunas, but just different type of therapy altogether than photobiomodulation.
What about stem cells? I have a lot of listeners interested in stem cells and... You know, I've used pulsed electromagnetic field therapy on the long bones of the femur. Super easy. While I'm just, you know, same thing as yanking down my pants when I'm standing there at the desk working and doing the Juvelite, I can just run PEMF on my femur. And the guys that showed me that from this company called Pulse Centers show me some of the very interesting data on PEMF and stem cells. But there is some research, at least from what I understand, on photobiomodulation and stem cells. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there's definitely some evidence. We're Dr. Anthony Jay, he's doing some bench lab testing right now at Mayo, specifically with our devices and stem cells. But at a high level, I mean, stem cells are loaded with mitochondria, right? More so than other cells in our body. And so it would make sense theoretically that if you're since the mechanism of action is at a mitochondrial level, and if stem cells just have more mitochondria, you get a more profound effect with that specific cell type. In fact, a question that often comes up from customers is, you know, can a pregnant mom use PBM? And we always have to play that, you know, pretty carefully, just because it's gonna be hard pressed to ever find a study where you can successfully enroll pregnant moms. I mean, what mom is gonna enroll themselves in a study like that? There's probably a few of them out there, but Dr. Michael Hamlin, who we've referenced earlier, he theorizes that actually your mom and fetus would actually get way more benefit from PBM just because of the overabundance of stem cells during pregnancy. So it's a theory for sure. I mean, I don't want to make any claims by no means, but that because of that core mechanism of action, you can sort of at a high level kind of understand why you'd even see more benefits
makes
with
sense.
Stem cells.
They could use the Juve, have a wine cooler, drink a latte, try everything, play around with that fetal research. Like, that's a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Now, you also talked about something that I hadn't heard much of, but I think it was one of you guys I was talking to, maybe it was a PaleoFX or something, and somebody was standing there and you were talking about like shining it on your neck for thyroid. What's the idea behind that? Because I personally have had thyroid issues in the past due to everything from combining, you know, ketogenic diet strict with Ironman triathlon to just beating up my body with a lot of endurance. I mean, like, I've had thyroid issues. I have a lot of clients who have thyroid issues. How would this affect the thyroid?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because you have a gland that's quite near the skin surface in the neck, where it's pretty easy to get an effective dose of light to reach that area. And I think because of that, even though you have kind of a similar process going on at the cellular level, you're basically able to have some systematic impact by hitting those that thyroid gland. And there's some pretty interesting research to suggest addressing both hyper and hypothyroid conditions to bring that back into a regulated healthy range.
Yeah. Levothyroxine, I know on one study they actually got people off levothyroxine using infrared.
Yeah,
that's what I was just going to mention. I don't know if it was near infrared or far. Or
it was near. It was okay. Near infrared. I can't remember the exact percentage, but it was a significant percentage of the participants that completely stopped. Yeah. The thyroid meds.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Obviously, we still don't want to continue to make an argument for not getting out into the sun, but when you can get it, I mean, that's kind of the advantage of some of these devices, right? You can get it that close to the body, get that concentrated dose, even use something like a Juve Mini to direct it at the neck and affect thyroid activity. I'd love to see more people out there doing like N=1 self quant and just tracking, like reverse T3, T3, T4, TSH and seeing what happens to thyroid, because, you guys have sent me the data from some of the docs you have using this and their testosterone levels. I mean, we're talking like, they jump from like 300 up to 600 or 700, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, one guy in particular, Dr. Toma, I mean, I'm not sure if you've met him yet, but practitioner in Scottsdale, I mean, the guy's jacked. He's like completely yoked. He lives the, if you could paint the perfect picture of health, it's like he lives it. And the one thing that was missing was like light in his daily routine. And yeah, he saw over the course of three, he had all this tested over the course of 3 and then 6 months, his testosterone, his free test and his free test went from like in the mid 300s to, I think, in the mid 700s and then up again to like 1200.
So he one of these anti-aging docs?
He works with a lot of like professional athlete clients and whatnot.
Dope to the gills.
he would definitely, if you met him, he would definitely not be taking anything like that. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about technology because I know that there are certain powers or certain intensities that you want to look for. This Dr. Michael Hamblin guy who you brought up, I think he brings up the idea of a certain amount of joules, I think it's called, that you want to expose yourself to per day. And when you do his math, I think it comes out to like 20 to 30 minutes per day, something like that would be like the sweet spot for photobiomodulation. But talk to me a little bit about how you deliver power and this idea of how it could vary from device to device and what you actually want to look for as far as how much of this light to expose yourself to.
Yeah, that's a kind of a loaded question, but I'll do my best here. So
feel free to rattle, dude. We got all day. I got coffee upstairs. I got Keon.
We might need it.
Keon bars, TM. We can just nosh all day and fill ourselves with caffeine and talk light. But go ahead.
Yeah. So there isn't a great cost-effective way for your average consumer to really test the power output of a device. So you'll see some of these solar meters that people use to measure devices. But what we've seen, comparing that to professional meters, you can be off by 40-50% or even more trying to use a device like that. So that might not be a terrible way if you're comparing two devices under the same conditions at the same distances. Try to control things the best you can. You can kind of get a comparative effect there. But really, in referencing folks like Dr. Michael Hamblin, what him and his team use, you're talking a power meter that's, in the cost range in the neighborhood of $2,500, like minimum. And even with a device like that, you have to calibrate it specifically for the wavelength that you're testing. So let's say you're wanting to test the output on that Juve Elite. You would calibrate the device to measure the wavelengths at 660 nanometers, and then you'd turn just those wavelengths on, test those, and then you would have to calibrate it for the 850, turn just those on, and then add this together. So, it's not something that the average consumer is going to have access to or be able to, readily access. So I think when you boil that down, you really want to make sure that you're purchasing a device from a reputable company that it's, that you can trust, that, they're not just basing claims off of, either wattage or using kind of these cheap solar meters as a way to verify the output. So with the Juve Lite, the output at the surface of the device, you're looking at an excess of 100 milliwatts per square centimeter.
Okay.
And to convert that into the joule measurement you were talking about, you referencing earlier, that equates to about 6 joules per square centimeter per minute. And obviously that goes down with the distance. But our general or recommended treatment guidelines, we recommend a 10-minute treatment about 6 inches away from the device. And we found
10 minutes, 6 inches away.
Yep.
How many joules does that give me?
In the neighborhood of 20 to 30 joules per square centimeter, and it really kind of depends on you know, how far off center, the distance. There's, you know, these different factors.
Yeah, but I think some of Hamblin's research show like you could go as high as 100 joules. I mean, technically you'd be showing then you could do like 40 to 60 minutes on this thing.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting is
if you're 6 inches away.
Yeah, and if you look at you know, there's some studies that indicate skin health, for example, that it just four to six joules is effective. But as you mentioned, for deeper tissue benefits, you know, there's studies showing benefits at, you know, 60, 80, 100, 120 joules per square centimeter.
Yeah. Interesting.
This concept of, you know, in the world of like academic literature is referred to as the biphasic dose response, meaning, you know, can you basically trying to answer the question, can you use PBM too much? Where you're doing harm, and we've gone deep and down the rabbit hole with this topic, especially with a guy like Dr. Hamblin, who's co-authored some pieces on this very subject. And the reality is, like, the unique thing about PBM with these specific wavelengths of light, it's really hard to have any. I mean, there's really virtually no contraindications. It's really hard to do damage.
None. You couldn't produce too many reactive oxygen species or too much nitric oxide.
You'd have to really, really overuse it. I mean, that MATE analysis that we spoke about earlier, the 500, you know, studies that were parsed down to, like, you know, the 50 best. I mean, when you look at the amount of joules that were delivered to induce a biological effect on those subjects, I mean, you saw results even up to 300 joules per session, you know, delivered to muscle tissue. So
yeah, but they had increased performance. But I mean, are there any downstream health effects?
It's really unclear.
So that was 300 joules. So based off what we were just talking about, I mean, that could mean what if you said 10 minutes would give you like 6 joules?
10 minutes would give you more. I mean, at the recommended treatment distance, 10 minutes would give you more around like 30-ish joules.
Okay, with, so, like with a 100, like, so it would be doing like 100 minutes.
Yeah, you'd have to really use it for a long period of time. Yeah, and so that's one of the challenges within photomedicine research is the wide variety of the ways researchers have gone about publishing their studies. So you've got different participants, you've got different tissue types, different ways to deliver light, different energy dosages, delivered at different times of the day. There's all of these different variants. It's one of the problems. And so it's really hard to say the biphasic dose response is exactly this. I mean, the evidence is really unclear for anyone to, I think, probably make a definitive, you know, take a definitive stance there.
Yeah. I think the bottom line is it's one of those things where you want to listen to your body and make adjustments to what works best for you. So, you know, I've had, you know, people through us ask specific questions like, what should I do for this specific problem? And, you know, talked with Dr. Hamblin, he's like, well, there's, you know, there's no way that for us to know that, you know, we're just not far enough down the science to say that you need 7.5 joules per square centimeter. And that's going to be the magic number. I mean, you'd basically start at a reasonable level. And, you know, there's not, as Scott mentioned, there's not a danger of overdoing it. Other than you may find that it's longer than you need. So, in rare cases, you have some people that maybe have some sort of a light sensitivity, but outside of that, there really isn't any substantial research that shows that, you know, you're going to have problems if you do it for too long.
Now, photobiomodulation can be delivered in, from what I understand, either waves or pulses. And I know some of Dr. Hamblin's research seems to show that, I believe, like this pulsed is more effective or better. Can you describe the difference between the two and what exactly the Juve is delivering?
Sure. So the bulk of the PBM research is based on what is called continuous wave light. So you're basically talking about a continuous source of light. You have a wave of it, basically related to the AC power that's being used by these different devices. But there certainly have been some interesting studies using pulse light where there's a true on off of the source of light, be it a laser, which is honestly more typical, but that can be accomplished with LEDs. What is not clear is what frequency of this pulse is optimal for what different, you know, for a given benefit. So, because of some of the things that are really yet to be determined there, The bulk of the research supporting continuous wave light therapy, we know that that works for a wide range of benefits. So that's what we've stuck with Ju for now.
Okay. What does the sun do? Do you guys know? Continuous versus pulse?
Yeah, it's continuous. I mean, there's different things in nature where you have a pulsed effect. So even like the magnetic field from the Earth, for example, you have this Schumann resonance that you actually have this pulsing from the Earth's magnetic field. So there's certainly some of this in nature. But yeah, sunlight, you're looking at a continuous wave light.
Okay, got it. And that's what the Ju is making, is a continuous wave light.
Yep.
Okay. Now, in terms of, and this is a question I get a lot, health effects. So there's two things that I'm concerned about in my home right now. One, I kind of alluded to, these lights overhead, they're awesome. They're amazing in terms of, they're made by this company called Lighting Science, biological LED, and I can have certain bulbs that have the complete absence of blue light, or for awake and alert areas, presence of blue light. But I recently had a building biologist go through my home, and these things produce a bunch of flicker, similar to like a computer monitor that's producing flicker. So even if I'm not aware of it, almost subconsciously, my retina, they're detecting that flicker, and that long term can cause everything from macular degeneration to brain fog in the afternoon to headaches, et cetera. It's kind of why I'm in the process of slowly going through and just replacing everything with incandescent or candle OLED or just freaking candles. Now, for the Juve, as far as the actual LED is concerned, obviously it's LED. You know, these are a bunch of LED panels. So are they producing a lot of flicker? Like, could this potentially be irritating to the retina? Or have you guys looked into this at all?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a common question. And one of the things that we've done with the power supply and the drivers that we use is to minimize that as much as possible.
The flicker.
The flicker, or sometimes called flicker rate or flicker ratio, which basically has to do with the maximum light output and to the minimum light output as you're looking at it, almost like a continuous sine wave. Mm-hmm. The main difference between the two topics there is your lighting that you're using, your household lighting that you're using to see things under all the time versus a therapy that you're using for a limited period of time to boost cellular function.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not like under it all the time.
Yeah, and those, so even though it's something that we do design for, there's not any PBM research that shows if you have a certain amount of flicker rate that, you know, you're somehow negating these effects or you're not going to get the benefits.
Yeah, I mean, I wear blue light blockers, and a lot of times, like, I'll even wear, I don't know if they're out here on my desk, yeah, I'll wear glasses like this. I think these are Swannies. They're kind of like glasses you can wear during the day that block flicker and glare from monitors, but they're clear, so you don't look like a freak, and you also fall asleep at your desk because you're just blocking out all stimulatory light. Mm-hmm. So rather than a yellow lens or an orange lens, they're a clear lens. Now, do these type of lenses block some amount of flicker if I were to wear these and have the Juve on at the same time?
The flicker, like I said, the main difference between your household lighting is you've got most LEDs people are using just a regular socket where they had their incandescent bulb screwed in and they just replaced it with an LED. And basically what you have there is a transformer where you're taking that alternating current, transforming it to a DC current for the LED chip. And in that process, especially when you're doing it at an extremely compact level at for just a screwed in light bulb, it's not very effective at regulating that alternating current pulse. Whereas when you have FDA approved medical device where you're going through a much more stringent process with the transformers, with the drivers, to where you can get a much more consistent output from those drivers to minimize that. So if you were to do
Minimize the alternating current or to minimize the flicker?
To minimize the flicker. So you're taking the alternating current and you're converting it to a direct current.
Oh, you guys do an AC-DC conversion?
Yes.
I did not know that. That's really good to know. That's the reason that I have not switched all the bulbs in my home to halogen, because it's incredibly difficult. Even though halogen would probably be the most biologically friendly form of light for me to have, it all runs on AC current, and there's no way to just like retrofit every can in my house with like an AC-DC converter. But you guys have AC-DC built into the Juve.
Correct.
Okay. That's really good to know, because that affects the other thing I was going to ask you about is EMF. You know, that's the dirty electricity is the reason that I won't use something that uses a huge amount of AC electricity. But as far as the EMF produced by the Juve, the dirty electricity, have you guys tested that? Have you mitigated for it? What's going on with that?
Yeah. So interestingly, right around the same time we were first developing the Juve prototypes, we realized that our oldest son was quite sensitive to EMF. So that really brought that on our radar, and kind of brought that home to like, hey, this is something important. And not to go too deep down that story, but he realized that if he would just unplug his computer and different electronics, you know, he would sleep, 100 times better at night. So, since then we've gone to Wi-Fi free all the time. We'll actually turn power off in our house at night.
Flip the breaker.
Flip breakers off and limit that. So, to answer your question, it's something that we're quite aware of and have designed for. Even the original Juve has a very low EMF output. You're looking at less than 1 milligauss at the treatment distance, which for reference, you're probably in that neighborhood just walking through a typical house that has
6 milligauss is where you start to get really concerned.
Yeah.
Above 3, I have this thing called an acoustimeter that Dr. Mercola told me I should get. And so I just it's kind of addicting. You walk around your house, you just test everything, you hold in front of everything. And anything that goes above 3, I get super. My phone, not only does my phone go above 6 whenever I test it, but if I test my body's at like 0, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as I hold my phone in one hand and test my body goes up to like 3. It's crazy. Like the phone uses my body as an antenna. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is the Juve is less than 1.
Exactly.
For milligauss.
Yep. And we've actually taken some new steps with the new Juve, modular system to even further mitigate that. So we've got, the power cords, for example, we're using multiple forms of, technology to shield the electromagnetic field from the power that's coming through that. And then even the drivers that we referenced earlier, we are now using, aluminum cases on those to, further mitigate, the EMF output from those.
Wow, that's fabulous! I'm proud of you guys. A lot of people like in the technology sector, they don't pay attention to this shit. They produce some amazing device that winds up harming you long term due to things like the electrical pollution or the flicker. So I'm glad to hear you guys are working in some of this stuff. Men after my own heart. I want to ask you a little bit more about that Juve model. But the other thing is that for example, we know that nanostructured water in the cells and this whole water-based matrix surrounding the cells responds very favorably to near infrared light, meaning that like having adequate water, being adequately hydrated, having like really mineral-rich water, or even going out and making Hunza water or structured water, two things that we don't have to rabbit hole too deeply into, seem to be able to allow your cells to respond more favorably to light. So that's one example of something I'm very careful of, right? Like I drink structured water, I put like trace liquid mineral droplets in it or sea salt in it, and I keep myself very adequately hydrated, especially before I use the Juve or before I use photobiomodulation. It just seems to enhance the effects even more. That's one example, but are there other things that you guys have found, whether technologies or supplements seem to combine really well with something like photobiomodulation, whether based on research or your own internal testing and hacking?
Well, you've hit on a big one, and kind of boiling back to what you referenced earlier, the really getting back to the way things were a couple hundred years ago. So light, water, magnetism, grounding, these are some foundational things. So there's certainly some powerful effects related to light and water in our tissues and cells. You referenced easy water. That's something that's fascinating to me. We've had some conversations with Dr. Gerald Pollack and kind of quizzed him on some of these processes and how near infrared light and red light can have an impact on that structured water.
Yeah. Movement of water through vessels, yeah. Even in the absence of like a pressure gradient,
exactly.
All acts on electrochemical gradients. Fascinating.
Like it
his
is.
Book, I mean, The Fourth Phase of Water, you shine infrared light on the water and it literally just like crawls up a tube, the same way as water would go up through a tree.
Yeah, for any of you out there that haven't read that book, I would highly recommend
it. I'll link
it
to it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's a great one because I think some of us, any references, I mean, he really went out on a limb with his research related to structured water because he really calls into question kind of the established, generally accepted concepts of how water behaves. in that research, I mean, you mentioned some of the things that just defy logic. I mean, shining light on water and having it flow through a Naphion tube, which is, you know, basically just a hydrophilic surface.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, the other thing that I think is fascinating too, just along with, blood flow and how light, you know, plays an incredible role in those processes. So yeah, I think you've hit on a big one. I mean, there's certainly other things, you know, Scott mentioned the, green tea extract and some other, interesting benefits at a skin health level, you know, with the, things that you can have actually on the surface of the skin. But yeah, I think a lot
you
of
mean you put green tea on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Really? How's that work?
Well, initially you'd think it has to do with the ORAC score, the antioxidant, like the fact that green tea has a high, high antioxidant ORAC score. But actually there's way more evidence that suggests green tea enhances cell signaling, which is one of those secondary sort of benefits of red and near infrared light is its ability to.
So you don't drink it. You put it on the skin.
On the skin. Yeah. No, granted.
How do you even do that?
Yeah. Well, in the research, it was literally like, a cloth dipped in green tea and then put on the face. A
green tea shower.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you're using, you know, green tea spray or a mist or something like that, in theory, you could probably induce some better benefits.
Business opportunity for you guys right there. One click upsell in the shopping cart, add a little green tea spray to your purchase.
There you go. There you go. Copper is actually another one that again, the evidence is somewhat limited, but it's pretty tantalizing, you know, that actually copper can help induce.
Well, copper is toxic, isn't it?
Not in certain dosages. Okay. In fact,
and you're talking about oral consumption.
I'm talking about copper.
Oh,
like,
topical.
Yeah, like a topical. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, like one of Andy's serum, his gold serum, I think, you know, part of the ingredient stack is copper. And so, and that actually has something to do with the way, cytochrome C oxidase, actually the chromospheres in cytochrome C oxidase, how the copper element of CCO and how that responds to light. And so it kind of, It's super interesting, but yeah, there's some little hacks like that you know that we've heard people try, and there's like some interesting early evidence that suggests they actually could work.
Mario Badescu facial spray with aloe, cucumber, and green tea. They sell it on Amazon. I don't know if it's got a bunch of other chemical crap in it, but
stay tuned for the green tea spray here coming out in the future.
I'll put this in the show notes for you guys who want to try the green tea. So green tea. Copper, this clay mask thing we talked about, adequate water, preferably structured with minerals in it. Any other little things you would combine with something like a Juve to enhance the benefits?
Well, I mean, just kind of going back to water, Dr. Laszlos, who's a tenured professor at UCLA, he actually, it's his theory, he's doing a lot of, they've done a lot of pioneering research with respect to deuterium depletion. And he actually fundamentally believes that these certain wavelengths change the viscosity within the mitochondria of our cells, helping our nanomotors spin faster. Mm-hmm. So that's actually, it's a little bit of a different mechanism than like exclusion zone water. But that's sort of some interesting things too. It's not necessarily like anything that you would do per se, but if you are doing
talking about like drinking deuterium depleted water, this stuff called light water.
Yeah. Or just doing anything in general that lowers your deuterium levels.
Ketosis and fasting.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So along with light could actually help, help even further lower your deuterium levels too. So,
right.
Yeah.
So controlling glycemic variability, maybe using this primarily in like an intermittent fasted state in the morning. Put on your green tea spray and your clay mask, a little copper in there. I like it. I love things like this that allow you to amplify the effect. And most of this makes pretty good sense. These are all things that would probably be pretty good if you're just going to go out and sunbathe as well.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. So you set up this, I thought it was going to be massive, but actually it doesn't have that big of a footprint. Yeah. This new Juve, what's it called? Modular?
Yep. The new Juve modular system.
Juve modular system. So tell me about this thing.
Yeah. So basically what we set up for you this morning is six of the Juve Solo devices. So what the flexibility that gives people to do is, you know, let's say they're hearing about light therapy. They've kind of come across this a couple times and they'd like to try it out and they see like, you know, does this really make a difference? Is it something that I can feel? I'm not sure whether I totally, you know, believe in this yet. You know, they can try out and they could buy one Juve Solo and then say, you know, experience some of those benefits and then they can add on to that later.
It's like ultimately. Lego blocks.
Yeah. You can basically connect the devices together. And as you saw, they work pretty seamlessly together. So we basically have two kind of size building blocks, if you will, the Solo, which six of those make up the Elite or that the full size system. Or we also have a mini device. So you could start even with a mini to use for if you just wanted to treat targeted areas such as your face or if you have an issue with a joint or a knee. And then the devices connect via Bluetooth to pair the devices together and control with just a one-touch on-off button. As you mentioned previously, you can change the control the wavelengths as well. So if you want to do just red or just near-infrared.
Can you disable the Bluetooth if I don't want Bluetooth on?
Exactly. And the way that you do that, we just have a hardwire pairing kit. So similar to how you would get rid of having Wi-Fi in your house, you just hardline your computer. This is the same way. So you just have a system that comes actually automatically with all of the modular system. So if you get the Elite or any of the other devices we're using, multiple devices, it does include that hardwire pairing kit.
It's all one big flat panel, but could I, if I wanted to kind of like turn that into a square that I would like step inside to just get my body from all angles? Can you do that?
Yeah, you can. In fact, we have some practitioners that are already set up with multiples of these Elites or some of the smaller devices, so you can surround and get a true full body treatment and a very time effective treatment.
And that's red light and near infrared that thing will make.
Yep.
So I can just blast myself with that. Cool. I like it. Yeah. I can't wait to experiment. I'm going to give my kids this little Juve Mini too. They're going to love it. And love it. That my little biohacking sons. Cool. You guys, this is amazing. I've always wanted to do a deep dive into photobiomodulation. I've gotten so many questions about this Juve, and I think we managed to cover most of them. I know I also talked about a lot of things for those of you listening in, along with a lot of research, and there actually is, kudos to you guys because you've done a pretty good job creating a website that isn't just a bunch of sales spiels, but has some really good peer-reviewed research on it. So I'll link over to the Juve, website, and I'll also link over to everything that Scott and Justin and I talked about. You just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Juve podcast, just like it sounds. But Juve, just so you know how to spell this, if you're going to Google them at all, et cetera, it's two O's, two V's. So bengreenfieldfitness.com/JOOVV podcast, bengreenfieldfitness.com/Juve podcast. And I'll just link to everything over there. I believe we have a discount code or something like that for the Juve somewhere. I have trouble keeping everything straight when it comes to codes, but we have a code, don't we, fellas?
We do. If you use the code Ben at checkout, you'll get some. You'll get a special bonus gift there that we'll.
Dude, what's the bonus gift? People are going to ask.
Are you
saying that because you're still coming up with what it's going to be?
it's the green tea body spray that we. Joking aside, it's right now it's going to change probably on a quarterly basis. We'll keep it fun. Now it's actually a hat actually that we brought with us here today, but it's a kind of a Juve branded hat that's pretty good. It's not like a cheap hat. It's actually like a one that you'd be
well I have
you'd
two be cool. two thoughts about that. First, is it one of those laser hats that you see in the back of airplane magazines?
it's not that.
Yeah, you should do that. It's an idea for you. Yeah. And two, you guys sent me a blanket. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
I just got back from camping and I had that. That's like my blankie. That's the best blanket in the world. You guys should do that as a gift sometime.
Yeah,
because that blanket rocks.
Well, maybe in the future we'll throw that into the
softest, nicest blanket that I have. My wife laughs at me because I crawl into bed and I'm like, where's my blanket? And I put that blanket underneath my other blanket because it's soft. It's literally just like the one I had when I was six. I love it. Thank you.
That blanket, I'm not kidding, has a little bit of a cult following.
Yeah.
Just, you know. Well, it's a good blanket.
We may want to spray that with green tea. And have people wear it, or sleep with it,
Disappears. I'm gonna freak out. Well, fellas, thanks for coming up to the Greenfield compound. Thanks for setting up that new Juve modular Elite thing out in my office or living room. It looks sick. I can't wait to use it. And enjoy the rest of your time here in Spokompton.
Spokompton. That's great.
It's beautiful. It's been an honor to have to be with you.
All right, folks. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
Ben Greenfield, along with Scott Nelson, Justin Strahan, signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com/Juve podcast. Have an amazing week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.